இந்த அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹ் வஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாம் அலா அஷ்ரஃபில் அம்பியா அலா அலிஹி வ அஸ்ஹாபிஹி வ மன் வலா வபாத். ஒன் ஆஃப் தி மோஸ்ட் காமன் திங்ஸ் தட் ஐ எம் யூஸ்வலி ஆஸ்க் டு ஸ்பீக் அபவுட் இஸ் தி டியூட்டீஸ் ஆஃப் சில்ட்ரன் டுவோர்ட்ஸ் தேர் பேரண்ட்ஸ். அண்ட் அஃப்கோர்ஸ் திஸ் இஸ் மேனிஃபெஸ்ட், இட் இஸ் கிளியர், சில்ட்ரன் டூ ஹேவ் ரெஸ்பான்சிபிலிட்டி டுவோர்ட்ஸ் தேர் பேரண்ட்ஸ், தே மஸ்ட் பி குட் டு தேம் அண்ட் ஸோ ஆன். அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு வ தஆலா மென்ஷன் தட் இன் த குர்ஆன். And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that in many of his teachings. But what does not get equal attention, and which not only I think in my opinion has equal attention but probably even more, is the responsibility that parents have towards their children. Now, like most things which should be self-obvious, things which should be clear by themselves, we don't necessarily mention them. But today we are living in a world where more and more we are seeing cases of parents inadvertently or deliberately actually misleading children, actually doing things for children or doing things to children which are harmful for them, both in this dunya wal akhirah. Now, I am not the only one saying this. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayh, in his kitab Tuhfatul Mawlud, mentions this in on page 146. And may Allah reward the one who sent me this reference. He said, the meaning of which is, how many people have caused misery to their own children, the apples of their eyes, in this world and in the hereafter, by neglecting them, not disciplining them, encouraging them to follow their whims and desires, thinking that they were honoring them when they were in fact humiliating them, that they were being merciful to them when in fact they were wronging them. They have not benefited from having a child, and they have made the child lose his share in the world and in the hereafter. If you think about the corruption of children, you will see that in most cases it is because of the parents. Now, this might seem like being harsh, but this is the actual reality of life. I remember an incident memory of which will live with me till the day I go into my grave. I was speaking at a primary school in Chennai many years ago. I think it was in the year 2000 or something, or 13, 14 years ago. And after my speech, a little girl, she put up her hand and she said she wanted to speak to me. So I called her up to the stage. So she came, and she was probably not more than about 8 years old. Wearing a hijab, and she said to me, my mother, she said, first she asked me, am I allowed to disobey my mother? So I said, of course not. I mean, you know, why do you ask that question? I mean, of course you're not allowed to disobey your mother. She said, Sheikh, but my mother tells me and tries to force me to take off my hijab. She says it is not fard, you are too young, there's no need, and if you wear a hijab, nobody will marry you. So take off the hijab. And she says, my mother makes me watch television. Now, I don't know, I tend to cry too much. So my eyes filled up with tears. And I thought to myself that, is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mothers for? To prepare their children for Jahannam. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I remember reading this many years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will be parents who will see their children being thrown into Jahannam, and they will know that they are the cause for that. The parents will know that because of me, my child is going into Jahannam. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us to be good to our children or to be bad to them? Did Allah send us to lead them into Jannah or into Jahannam? Today, more and more we see this. We see parents who mislead their children, misguide their children, either actively or passively. Actively, of course, all of this, taking them to clubs, making them members of clubs, forcing them to become members of clubs. Literally, I mean, actually, I know several cases where the adult children are being forced by their parents to become members of gambling clubs, to become members of race clubs, to become members of this and that club, which is established for the purpose of propagating haram. Telling them all kinds of nonsensical stories about how this is essential for their prestige and so on. It is essential for the prestige of a person to disobey Allah. This is Islam. What kind of Islam is this? Or is it essential for the prestige of a person that he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But parents do this. So it's, you know, for there many women, many mothers who force their sons to shave their beards. They know perfectly well it is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the mothers force them. They said, shave your beard, you don't look nice, and this and that. Constant negative messages, constant hate messages to the children to shave their beards, to go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many, many, many mothers who rip the hijab off the head of their daughter, who make those daughters take the hijab off, they force them to take off their hijabs because they say that you will not get married. You will not get married to a person who is disobedient to Allah. You will not get married to a brother of shaitan. Is that who you want to get married to in the first place? You will get married to somebody who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, if your husband is not obedient to Allah, he is not going to be obedient to you, he is not going to be kind to you, he is not going to cover you with mercy, because that is the hukam of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be good to your wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, cover your wife with mercy. Allah said, be good to them, be kind to them. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am the best to my wives, to my families, and you should be the best to your wives and your families. Now, if your husband does not obey Allah, he is not going to be doing any of that. So you decide for yourself. You want to marry a man who obeys his whims and fancies, or you want to marry a man who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now, mothers force this. They force their daughters to take off their hijab because you will not get married. You will not get married to somebody who you should not be marrying in the first place. But they don't teach them that. So these are some of the active things of actively encouraging or forcing children to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, lots of them. I mean, I don't want to go into a list. Issues of earning haram, issues of eating haram. All of this, parents misguide children. Children want to leave haram. Parents force them back into haram. They say, no, how will you live? How will you survive? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helpless. His treasures have dried up. He is incapable of feeding you. He is incapable of clothing you. He is incapable of sheltering you. Na'udhu billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So this is one. The other way in which parents misguide their children and prepare them for a life which is Jahannam on this earth and Jahannam in the hereafter is by just allowing them to do whatever they want. They are creating monsters. And how many homes have I gone into where I have seen 1 year old monsters and 2 years old, 2 year old monsters, and I can look at that child and I say, well, this one is going to grow into someone who, when a day will come when their parents will wish that this child had never been born, their parents will wish that it was legal to shoot the child and they would have shot the child. That is the level to which I can see. And we have seen, we have seen cases of this where parents wish the child was dead because that child is causing so much misery and so much harm to their parents when they are old and ill-treating them and cursing them and beating them and treating them like literally like animals. But they forget that monster is their creation. How? Let me describe for you some scenes. You have a little one, 2 years old maybe or whatever, who demands something. You know the child is not allowed to have that thing. You are the one who set the rule and you said you can't have this and you can't have that. And when the child demands, as long as he makes your life enough of a nuisance, you give in. So first you say you can't have it, and then because he is making such a nuisance, you give in. So what are you training that child? You're training the child that the way to get ahead in life, the way to get what you want, is to make a nuisance of yourself, to create so much problem for people around you that eventually they will give in. Now, fact is that that is not always true. So you will find that these children grow up and then they do this, and then one day somebody pulls out a gun and shoots them because of what they are doing, and or some other thing happens, or they go to jail. Why? Because not everybody is their mother. And their mother trained them that if you make enough nuisance in your life, you will win. But that's not really the case. So they won against their mother, who was stupid enough to teach them that. But the world is not stupid. So at some point in time, they come up against somebody who is not willing to give in, and they get into trouble. How many times have you seen children, little children, who don't want to share their toys with their brothers and sisters, with their siblings? So now you've got this little child who's got a toy. The brother wants it. This one makes a noise, no, I won't give it. And the parents, usual parents' reaction, especially parents who are from wealthy homes, usual reaction is, don't worry, I'll get you your own. Don't worry, I will get you your own. Now, fast forward 20 years, fast forward 30 years, you now have a family business and you have brothers who will not talk to each other, brothers who will not sit in the same room with each other, brothers who literally either teach, or if they don't teach, they shut a blind, they turn a blind eye to their children being disrespectful to their elder or younger brother, to their uncles, that they just turn around and they smile because they think, oh, that's good, let him get it from my child. Why? Because that is exactly what you train them to do. You train them that they should not share. You train them that whatever is in the house belongs to one of them exclusively. If another one wants, he's got to get it from somewhere. While you could give, you gave, but you did not teach them to share. You did not teach them compassion. You did not teach them that the brother has a right in what you have. You did not teach them that it is, the happiness lies in sharing with your brother. You taught them that happiness lies in fighting with your brother. Happiness lies in denying your brother his rights. And that is what eventually comes home to bite you 20, 30 years later, when now it is not a toy. It is your family business. It is the family property. How many advocates and how many lawyers and how many solicitors are living off the income that comes from brother fighting brother? And as they say, the prayer of the lawyer is, let there be strife, lest your servant perishes. They say, oh God, let there be strife, lest your servant perishes. Now that is supposed to be the prayer of the lawyer, that let there be strife. Now imagine how many homes have been destroyed, how many families have been destroyed by brothers and sisters fighting one another like cat and dog, because they can't see eye to eye and they refuse to share, and they're fighting and suing each other and whatnot, all because of how the parents brought them up. That not sharing a toy in the nursery, that not sharing a toy with your brother, comes home to bite 20, 30, 40 years later. Same thing, your friends, your little children are at home. Your friends come. Friends also have little children. Those children come. Now these children, your children, you got one of them or two of them, whoever, who try to oppress those children who are guests. They want to do something, your children fight with them. You have your children have toys, these guests have come, your children refuse to share their toys. Your children do things against the rules of hospitality. And what does the mother do? What does the father do? The father encourages. The mother encourages. The father or mother does not use that wonderful opportunity where your child is demanding something which they really should not have, to teach them the rules of hospitality. And to say that, look, this child is our guest, and we as Muslims, we honor our guests. We share with our guests. We give up our rights for our guests. If there is less food, we give the guest the food and we go hungry. If the guest wants to sit in a particular place, we get up and give our seat to the guest, not the other way around, where we move the guest and put our child in the guest place. Imagine, here is this wonderful opportunity to train your children of how to treat guests, and instead of that, you're training your children to oppress guests. You're training your children to be nasty to guests, and you don't even know that. You don't even realize that. And then one day, that one comes home to bite. Imagine what kind of... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran about people who were good to their guests. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent, he asked one day, and he said, who is there who will take care of this guest? And one sahabi stood up, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, and as far as I remember, it was Talha, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu wallahu alam. He stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will take your guest. Now when he got home, his wife said, there is just enough food for one person, and I was planning that food for one person, you and I and the children, we would share, but now you have brought a guest. Then Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he says, we have to honor our guest, and this is a guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has come, so we honor our guest. So therefore, he said, just put the children to sleep, give them some water to drink or whatever, put them to sleep, and then bring the food. And when you bring the food, he said, accidentally put off the lamp so that the guest will not see that I am not eating. So that's what she did. She brought the food and then she put off the lamp, and the guest ate by whatever ambient light there was, wallahu alam, and he did not notice that Abu Talha al-Ansari pretended to eat. The guest was hungry. He didn't realize that Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu did not eat. So the guest ate his fill, food finished. Abu Talha, his wife, and the children all went to sleep hungry. But the Rabb of Allah, Abu Talha al-Ansari, was seeing, and he informed his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And next day, when Abu Talha al-Ansari went to the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited for him the ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are those who give up their food for their guest in order to honor them. Now imagine, this is the culture of Islam. The culture of Islam is to honor guests, but we are bringing up our children to dishonor guests. We are bringing up our children to oppress guests and to be unfair to guests. Somebody comes to your house and you, instead of honoring them, you mistreat them, you will treat them. And remember, just because it's a 2-year-old doing it doesn't make it right. That same 2-year-old, you had the opportunity to teach him or her a lesson which would have lived with them all their lives. Well, remember, guess what? You still taught them that lesson, but it's the wrong lesson. And that lesson will come home to roost one day. Very, very important. I have, those of you who are interested, read my book, which is called Bringing Up a Muslim Child. Again, it's free. Most welcome to download it from our website and elsewhere. Read the book. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to bring up children who will be a credit to us and a source of sawabul jariyah for us all through life. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. Have you connected your child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you introduced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to your child? Have you taught your child how to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Have you taught your child manners which will make that child a source of honor for you, and a source of benefit and a source of goodness for all those who live around that child? A source of responsibility. This is very, very important. This is why we are created, and how we are created, that we are created to be responsible. Allah said, "Ukhrijat linnas," that we have selected you for the benefit of the people. So what are you and I doing with regard to bringing up children who will be a credit to us and who will be a source of thawabul jariyah for us, not children who will be a source of azab for us and for themselves? Children who are programmed to succeed in this world and the next, not vice versa. Children who are programmed to fail in this world and the next. Please remember that as parents, you are the script writers of the children. You write the script of their life for success or for failure. This is also there's a lot of psychology theory which talks exactly about this, and which calls parents the script writers of children. And we talk about how a child, even if your parents were people who are not responsible, how you can rewrite your script. But that's a different matter. My point is that right now we have parents. Those children who are fortunate enough and lucky enough to have parents, let the parents be aware of what their responsibility is, and not simply act like as if they're bringing up animals, that as if it's enough to just feed them and clothe them and keep them dry. No, responsibility of tarbiyah is entirely, completely and squarely on the shoulders of the parents. The child is not responsible for his own tarbiyah. The child is responsible for taking care of the parents, but the parents are responsible for the tarbiyah of the child. And if they fail to bring their children up properly, they will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if badly brought up children will be a source of evil for them in this dunya and in the akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to bring up children who will be a credit to us and to all Muslims. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.